This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's now 7:34 a.m. on Monday, the 1st of August. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani this morning. What do we have lined up on the news menu this morning, Julian?
Well, on the local front, Wahid takes a formal position at PNB. Alam Maritime is also exposed to Swiber. And on the international scene, we have some movements from Alibaba. Of course, they're always in the news. Sony and Sharp report results.
Well, that's a lot to cover, so let's get started. A consortium of Chinese investors have agreed to buy Caesar's online casino-style games unit. That unit is called Playtika. This is a $4.4 billion deal, and this Chinese consortium includes Yunfeng Capital, which is a private equity company founded by Jack Ma, the chairman of Alibaba.
That's right. Playtika is actually into casino games, but using fake money. So really, this is to tap into the desire of people's desires to gamble. But because you're using fake money, there isn't a social problem there associated to it. So either that, or perhaps they're thinking of venturing into, you know, real money gambling. So perhaps Alibaba and Jack Ma is into something here.
But one thing that I want to note is that they have this ties to the Israeli kind of app, right?
And they are Israeli.
They are Israeli.
Playtika is Israeli.
So that's the thing about Israel. They keep on creating these, you know, apps that are used globally. You know, even this morning coming to work, you might use that app from Israel called Waze. There's MoveIt. There's Fiverr, Funbox, Playbuzz. All these are Israeli apps.
What? So when you say online gaming doesn't use real money, right, Jules?
Yeah.
That doesn't... So how do they make money if they're not using real money?
Well, they go with in-games purchases, virtual items. And if you're, for example, a compulsive gambler, even with fake money, you can, you know, have 100 million chips and lose it all at once. And then you spend another $1 or $2 buying another 100 to 200 million chips again. So that's how it works. I guess it's no different from other games which also allow you to buy in virtual items. Pokemon, for example, Pokemon has gone on, I think, Craigslist to sell the... some people have reached the higher levels of the game, so they can sell their achievements to you. And you, if you don't want... If you're lazy and you don't want to achieve... work hard to achieve that kind of game standard, you can just buy it off someone's achievements.
And that's something quite interesting, because on YouTube, there is this nice video by Vox.com. It talks about that disassociative behavior of people buying fake money. It talks about why people think that it's okay for you to spend fake money, but, you know, essentially you have to use real money to buy that fake money.
It's not considered gaming online if it's fake money, is it? Or because I fail to see the same association. Gambling or gaming with at a casino is different from that online, right? Because you're not actually using your own money. It's just that rush that you get, or addictive properties that you get when you
I think that they're just lumping it under the same idea of people playing game, casual games, because you can just turn on your device and start playing immediately without having a lot of preparation to it. You don't have to drive up a little hill somewhere out of town to buy chips and play into a game, right? You can play this from the comfort of your own phone. And I think that, of course, as far as gambling, real hardcore gambling is concerned, there are laws against that.
Right.
And I think Jack Ma would want to not flout these laws and try to look into it. But when you put something online and, you know, you're not subject to the kind of legal requirements under a physical onshore jurisdiction,
yeah,
you can go somewhere else and sell gambling to people. I guess perhaps that is the next step. We've seen a lot of these online businesses flourish and making a lot of money out of it.
Well, Sony has reported a surprising net profit in the April-June quarter, and they did this on the back of strong PlayStation 4 sales. So far, PS4 has sold over 40 million units worldwide.
Yes, this is a thing that is pushing up Sony, because the other units, consumer electronics, they've been very weak, and these are divisions that sell into smartphones, televisions. They had a very small contribution to Sony. PS4 is now the thing that is propping Sony up.
You know, Sony used to be like this huge conglomerate, right? Are we now seeing Sony as a, you know, one pony stable?
I don't think it's the end of the world for Sony yet, but a lot of them are actually exposed to the Apple ecosystem, and we know that Apple has, sales of phones have been very weak over the quarter. For example, Sharp is also exposed to, you know, that very troubled Japanese company Sharp is also exposed to Apple because they make display units that they sell a lot of that to Apple, and they are now going to be taken over by Foxconn because of all the troubles that they have. But Foxconn is also Apple's is also a customer of Foxconn, and the entire industry is facing this challenge right now because I guess Apple has hit this ceiling where you know, there are only so much iPhones that you can sell.
Ibrahim is like, I don't know, maybe I need a new one, right? I know what you're thinking. Okay, well, let's take a look at the Bank of Japan, because, you know, after their meeting on last Friday, they left a lot of questions hanging in the market. They said that they would mount a comprehensive review of their policy framework at the next meeting in mid-September. So what this has done is basically revived expectations that the Bank of Japan could adopt some form of helicopter money or printing money, you know, print the government's ability to print money to spur inflation.
Really, they're trying to play footsie with this idea of helicopter money, governments, not governments, but central banks printing money to flood the economic system to achieve some kind of inflation. And over the last few years since Abenomics was implemented, they have been finding it very difficult to induce some inflation into the economy. And central bank representatives and finance ministry representatives from places like Japan and Germany have been very cautious and vigilant about the full adoption of helicopter money. It doesn't have positive connotations. So they've come out to say that, no, we're not doing it. But now Japan may be finding a way to do it in issuing a kind of government bonds that don't really have to be repaid. And instead of the bank spending money to buy participate in the financial markets, buying financial bonds and stocks and so on, it's the government that now will spend the money doing fiscal policy, which may not be a bad idea.
Yeah, well, there needs to be a little bit of both, right? Both monetary and fiscal. But what my main takeaway from the meeting with from the BOJ's meeting on Friday was, really, it left me scratching my head a little bit, because I now wonder, are they saying that because they want to rethink this policy, they might want to do helicopter money? Are they saying that, you know, the negative interest rates that they had put in place, now that's just not working? Is it safe to say that Abenomics is not working because they have not hit any of their targets at all, inflation and otherwise?
You know, around the world, we've seen some of these developed countries introducing these negative interest rates. That's why all of them are actually eyeing Japan quite closely. It talks about that negative interest rate model, whether or not it's working or not. And I think right now people are concluding very quickly that it's not working. What it means to these countries, like what does it mean to Sweden? What does it mean to, you know, other countries that are introducing these negative interest rates?
But it doesn't mean that a helicopter drop will solve all problems, right?
Well, this is a helicopter money with a difference, because it puts the responsibility of spending the money, takes that away from central banks into the governments. And whether or not the governments are better at spending the money than central banks is another question altogether. But we know that this hasn't worked. And you're right. Abenomics and all these quantitative easing policies around the world seem to look like they are spent forces.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.